Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
What a blast we are going to have today on Kingdom Pursuits. I've had a lot of guests in my time. I've seen a lot of interesting things. I'm the only radio host I've ever known to put mimes on my show and got away with it, Scott. But today we have Beat Bob. He's a one-man volleyball team that has taken on, like the Washington Redskins, one man. He's taken on high schools across the country. 6,000 volleyball games are something. You're in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most volleyball games ever played by a human being?
It's actually more games than any sport that anybody's ever played. 20,000 games, and like you said, in 6,000 gyms. So it's in the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Now, I want you to picture this for me. I've just watched a video of him playing. So you got a team, I guess a normal volleyball team is six people.
Right.
And so versus one, right? Yes. And we're not talking about playing, you know, people that aren't athletic. We're talking about playing, you know, big time professional athletes. And here's one man. But I will point out, because I was wondering until I actually saw it. See, he has one little advantage. He can volley to himself. So, you know, he gets three hits, you know, which if you do that on, you know, but nonetheless, when you watch it, it's absolutely outstanding. I one time, Bob, played a basketball game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Did you win?
No. No, I wasn't a one-man team. I mean, we had a pretty good basketball team, and we were going to play the Dallas Cowboys. And at the time, this was the Dallas Cowboys of Roger Staubach era, you know, because I'm an old guy. And so Drew Pearson and these guys, Too Tall Jones, you know. And I'm a tall guy, if you see me. I'm 6'5". So I thought, well, at least I'll be able to compete. Oh, no. You can run as fast as you can possibly dream of running, and somebody like a Drew Pearson will blow by you, and then you'll go, okay, now I know why I didn't play professional anything, because, or Too Tall Jones, who I think was 6'7" or something like that. And I thought, well, you know, I'd be able to rebound him against, not only is he that tall, but he jumps out of the gym. I mean, and I was like, yeah, there's no way that this is. And so when Bob, I hear that you play these kind of athletes, because, yeah, I know volleyball may not be their sport, but these people, they are working unbelievably hard on that first step. They can make a faster first step than almost any human being. They can jump unbelievable amounts. And so for you to do that, I'm thinking it's a God-given gift.
I always give him all the credit, believe me, because I'm playing 40 to 50 games a week. In my last 7 weeks, I had 275 games. But there's been over 80,000 come to Christ since 9/11, which has been a miracle.
And so, you know, the title of this show for years and years has been, how does God take your passion and use it to build the kingdom? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what God's gifted you, but I just want you to think about what God's doing here. Here's a man had a passion for volleyball. Wait till you hear how he uses that gift for the kingdom. But speaking of that, we also have another guest with us. We have Scott Saunders, who's with us today, who is actually bringing Bob. But Scott has a ministry called, I love this, Praygrounds. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Robbie. Appreciate you having us on.
So tell our listeners, I know that Praygrounds sounds a lot like playgrounds, but it's Praygrounds. So what? Tell us about that.
Well, it was actually given to me after I got a vision back in 2000. And the vision clearly was from God. I mean, it was, I've been praying the prayer of Jabez for a while. And long story short, the mission of Praygrounds is to put God's word out in public, to remind Americans of our Christian heritage, and to encourage a great increase of prayer in the body of the believers. So that was 19 years ago. And since then, God had given me some things to do, and one of the things that he keeps giving me things, and one of the things that he gave me was over the last 5 years to come alongside this one-man volleyball guy, and to see him in action and to see how he's blessing kids all over the country. And it's a privilege for me because kids of today need hope. I mean, they've lost hope, and that's why they're committing suicide. I mean, up to a million kids in America every year attempt suicides. And it's I mean, they've lost hope. That's what it comes down to. And so when you see Bob do what he does, the kids are cheering at the end. They can send him 100 emails per week. They're lined up to thank him. The testimonies are off the charts. It's amazing to see. Unless you see it in person, you never could possibly believe what he can how he can affect kids in today's schools.
So you can see today's show, we're loaded for bear, and you guys have to indulge me a minute because the people that are regular listeners know what's coming, that I'm going to have a riddle here that's going to be prologued by my sense of humor, which some people don't find funny, but especially my wife. But I think it's hilarious, and I laugh at my own jokes, which is good. So speaking, you know, his ministry is Beat Bob, beatbob.com, right?
Right.
And so speaking of beat, Bob tells me that one of the secrets to digging out a volleyball shot is to be upbeat. Right? You got to upbeat the ball. Is this guy? If you're looking for a fish that's good to eat, you can't beat a drum. And Borden Dairy says, you can whip our cream, but you better not beat our milk. And he arrived late at the party because... what? He was beaten to the punch. That could happen. So, at the end of all those shenanigans, you knew I would actually have a riddle that you can call in win today at 866-348-7884. If you can tell us, Jesus used the grapevine to spread the word about what beating of the master's servants? So, Jesus used the grapevine, a little Robbie humor there, to spread the word about what beating of the master's servants. And if you know the answer to that, you call us 866-348-7884. And Rachel, tell them what they'll win.
Well, they will win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
Yes, you will. And we are loaded with books in the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. And you may know, and we are expecting your call. 866-348-7884. Jesus used a grapevine to spread the word about what beating of the master's servants. So, Bob, interestingly, I think there's a underlying thing I see throughout your ministry about suicide. And I'm going to test my own thought here. Years ago, I was asked to do 100 interviews at the American Association of Christian Counselors. I had to do them in 2 days. And so I was interviewing counselor after counselor as a promotion for, you know, for that. And I prayed, you know, God, give me a question that, you know, that would, because these things have got to go fast. And I, you know, and the question he gave me was from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, you know, along the lines of, God comforts us with all comfort that we might comfort others with the comfort that he comforted us with. Hmm. And so in your own story, mm-hmm. is there a suicide issue?
Well, in my own story, I was out for 6 years doing evangelism, and then I had a burden. How can I get to people that are going to go to hell and give them the answer away from that place? And little did I ever dream that my bad back would lead to a chiropractor saying, why don't you just work out? You just need to work out. And he said, play volleyball. And so I started playing people, and then I turned into taking it to public schools. Little did I dream it would go to 6,000 of them. But it's been a blessing because I brought the name Christ back to our public schools. And so I didn't have a suicide in my own life, but I just saw the need to reach people with the gospel.
All right, we're going to find out more about how to play volleyball as a one-man volleyball team. We're going to hear more about Praygrounds. We've got your answer to the riddle. So stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. 866-34-TRUTH. how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Bob Holmes. He's a one-man volleyball champion. Beat Bob is his website, beatbob.com. And Scott Saunders with the ministry Praygrounds, which actually comes alongside Bob to a great extent and, you know, supports that ministry. But as we heard, you know, going into the break, that, you know, quite often, you know, we get broken so that God can build us up. And Bob shared about your back. That and if you were to meet Bob, that would be something that would jump out at, like, how could this guy play that strong a volleyball game when clearly he looks like his back is bothering him?
Well, it is amazing miracle that every time I get on the court, God is there with, and everybody knows it's God doing this. And, you know, when I heard, you know, that all across America there's a national epidemic. A principal took me in front of the school and showed me a cemetery of 15 gravestones of the kids that had died recently in his school. So that my heart just broke seeing this. And so all over the country I'm playing 40, 50 games a week, not because I tell the kids, it's not because of the game, but it's because I want you to remember I beat the odds, and you can beat the odds when you find out Christ was the answer. One boy swallowed rat poison to cover the pain of being bullied, and he said his veins hurt so bad from it, but the pain he got from swallowing the rat poison was nothing compared to the pain the bullies were causing. And then he found out Christ took his pain, and now he doesn't cover pain with pain anymore. So another boy had literally in his, wrote me, I was gonna kill myself, hang myself on my birthday a week after your assembly. And he said, I was actually going to do this. And then on his birthday, he wrote me an email, and I read this to DC, right in the Ways and Means room, to 300 leaders in our country. And they asked me, what am I seeing in the 6,000 schools? So I told them that all of these things. And I read this email to them about a boy who wrote me on his birthday when he was going to hang himself. Today, I was going to end it all, but I asked Christ to save me instead. And when I read that, I didn't know what Washington would say, but they said, we're going to make you the premier speaker because you stand for Christ. And these are the leaders of DC. I don't know if there were, you know, both sides there, but they were all for it. And they said, we have got to give you permission to go to any school in America through the Addiction Policy Forum. So it spoke to their hearts because of the gospel. So I'm seeing seeds of revival, and if you want to book me, you can go to beatbob.com and send me an email. Would love to be in your church for a week, do 3 public schools a day, end up with a big rally. So I would love to reach people in your area.
And Scott, you were talking in the break about what an epidemic suicide is, that there's more people. Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, so we were. I was doing some research at the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, and they talked about there are 15 million kids in high school in America, and over a million of them attempt suicide every year. And when you break down that number, it comes down to about 1,000 more than abortions are in this country, which is. Thankfully, these kids don't have it down on how to do that. But 10 a day just in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County schools attempt suicide. So, and most people don't, they're not aware of it. They're not aware that these kids are at that point in time. There was one gal who I just found out yesterday was a valedictorian in a local high school down in Charlotte. And 2 years into her college career, she successfully committed suicide. And you think, you know, it's tough to be these kids nowadays. But it's something that, you know, the church is well-equipped to come in and love on these kids. And so that's what we're trying to do with Bob's ministry. And quite frankly, I want to hog him for the Carolinas. So I need some help out there, folks.
He's going to be in Rowan County. What, coming up?
Yeah, Monday through Wednesday, he's got 7 schools, middle schools and high schools, that have invited him in to do his assemblies. So he's got 2 or 3 a day. If you're in the area, I'd love to have you come down and see it.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to book Bob, I can tell you. I love the way his website says, beat Bob, and then it goes to book Bob. And gives you pretty simple ways to go do that to get him involved in your school or whatever project that you feel like you might, you know, find a venue for him to do what it is that he does. So Bob, obviously part of the deal is you're out there having fun and then you're beating him at volleyball. And have you ever lost?
Out of 20,100 games, there's 460 losses. And there's been groups that have brought me in for all-nighters where I played from 9 o'clock in the evening till 5 a.m. And then the team at the very end wins, and I wasn't happy for them at all. I kind of limped out of there after playing all night. But certainly, you know, it's the losses don't bother me. I like competition. And so people try to. Now, if you want to see this and have a family event, just come like you'd go to the Globetrotters to East Rowan High School, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Bring your whole family. There'll be free pizza for everybody. And you'll get to see me take on. One of my games is going to be the whole audience. I had 1,000 against me once and still beat them. So bring out everybody and get on that court.
So you play the whole audience.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, there was no place for that ball to drop. So I just hit that thing in the crowd, and it kind of looked like a pinball game with the ball going throughout the crowd.
And so how did you set up, you know, I can see how you got into the schools, but at some point in time, how did you end up playing the professional football teams and that kind of thing?
Just a whole lot of different ways. It happened sort of like just people found out about it, and then these pro guys like competition. They want to be the first pro team to beat me, and so far none of the pro guys have been. So I've played the Dolphins, the Orioles, the Redskins, the Vikings, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Buffalo Bills 3 times, and I've played the and by the way, that was when they lost 3 games in the Super Bowl. I said, this is like the Super Bowl again. And they were laughing. Then I play the police, and they get out there, and they try to beat me. And I'll say to the crowd, you know, they protect our community. They ought to be paid more than Michael Jordan or Shaquille. Give them a standing ovation if you think somebody who risks their lives ought to be paid more than somebody throwing a ball through a hoop. they all clap for the police. And then I've even had some police handcuff me during the game, and I had to play like this the whole game with my hands cuffed and still beat them. That was funny. And one, so then I tell the crowd, if you've had a speeding ticket, you're cheering for me. So I'm not sure if we're going to have the police there Wednesday or not, but, you know.
So East Rowan High School Wednesday at 7?
Yes.
That's not far for many of our listeners, whether you're coming out of Charlotte or you're coming out of the Triad, even Raleigh, it's not terribly far. The people listening in Richmond today, that might be a trip for them, but nonetheless, that's pretty cool. So Scott, again, you said that, you know, one of the things that God put him in your life, and then did you start reaching out to schools, or how did that work?
Well, this is the God thing, and you know how God works. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's got to go through multiple different kind of like, they call it, you know, a pinball machine, right? I mean, through relationships. So this whole thing started when a mutual friend of ours called me. They lived in New Hampshire at the time, and they said, hey, Scott, you got to meet this Bob Holmes guy. And she told me. And so I called him, and he said, I said, where are you going to be in North Carolina? He says, Monroe Middle School, is that near you? And I said, well, that's like 15 minutes away. And so I said, well, come out and watch me. So I go over there, and outside, this was in May, so had the whole school and all the faculty outside on a field. And he played the boys' teams, the girls' teams. The faculty were particularly competitive, by the way. And then he gave his Beat the Odds talk to the kids, had them transfixed. And then he shared his personal testimony with Jesus Christ. And I knew the principal, so I went over to Mike, and I said, hey, Mike, I said, how can he do that? And he just looked at me and just kind of smiled, and he said, because he can. So a couple years later, this is how you know God's involved with this, is I was at the airport in Phoenix going to Reno, and I'm about ready to board, and I'm listening to my voicemails, and I get a voicemail from Bob. It says, hey, Scott, wouldn't it be great for the superintendent of Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools to hear me and see what I'm doing? And I thought to myself, yeah, that would be great. And I turned off my phone, and I turned around, and no joke, 10 feet away was the current CMS board superintendent, Heath Morrison, and his daughter. And so I laughed. I met Heath before I went over, and I just kind of said, hey, you're not going to believe this, and so forth. And he was very polite. But first class was boarding, and so he got on the plane with his daughter. And they got on, and I looked at my ticket, and what did God do? God upgraded me to first class. So I said, okay, well, that's nice. And so I walked down the aisle, and, you know, row one, row two. Row three on the right was the superintendent. Well, God put me on the other side of the aisle in row three. So I said, okay, God, I see a trend here. And then a couple years later, I was at a Rob Rogers, who does a Chick-fil-A, does a community meeting with 30 business leaders and 30 CMS employees. And I went there, and I met this gal, and she heads up the community development program for them. And she said, hey, bring Bob into Vance High School. So I said, okay. So we bring him to Vance High School, and he does this thing that plays the boys' teams, the girls' teams, and again, a very competitive faculty team. And then he shares his program. And then after the program, a gal, a 19-year-old senior, comes out and says, I've tried to commit suicide three times, but I'm not going to do that anymore. And there's more to that story for you.
There will be more. And more from you, because we haven't had anybody call in to say Jesus used the grapevine to spread the word about what beating of his master's servants is. I don't want to stump you guys today. There, we can beat Bob, but you don't have to, you know, be beaten by Rob. 866-348-7884. So much more coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we also may hear how Jesus used the grapevine to spread his word about what beating of the master's servants. 866-348-7884. We'd love to hear from you today. Or maybe you got a comment for Bob or for Scott. By all means, 866-348-7884 is a number to call in and do that. But Bob, a minute ago, I heard him say that, you know, that one of the big things that happens after you play volleyball and you share that stuff is you share your testimony. So, you know, I know our listeners would love to hear that testimony. I know I would love to hear that testimony. And so how did Jesus come after Bob before volleyball?
I started out as an evangelist, so I did 6 years, and then I had a bad back, and then I started doing public school assemblies and community rallies to reach people. But I got saved at the age of 15 and wanted to somehow get the gospel out to the world, somehow, knowing it's the answer, the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, and that's a one answer. Now, I love buffets where you can eat all kinds of stuff because you're feeding the whole team. When I go in the restaurant, I tell the owner that. You're feeding the whole team. I'm a one-man team. So, but when it comes to what takes us to heaven, there's only one ingredient on the buffet, and it's Christ. So I wanted to get that answer out. Little did I ever dream that God would use sports. I hated sports growing up. I was always the last one to be picked for a team, and that's why I play by myself, because nobody wants to play with me. But it's a word picture of going against, like how Christ went against all the demons of hell, but he won the victory because he came out of the grave. So on the rally night, the kids have heard during the day that Jesus Christ was my Savior. They clap, they come to the evening to hear part two. But every 30 seconds, a teenager's trying to take his life because he got bullied on the internet or at school. One girl saw her name on the wall, go home, swallow motor oil, light a match to your throat because we don't want you at our school. Well, she got so depressed she went in her bedroom 3 months. 3 months later, she came back. One girl said hi to her, and she said that one word, hi, changed my whole life. One boy went in, they circled him, and they would beat on him, take turns beating him up, and they'd push him down the stairs. He'd write on his wrist, he'd write the word, be brave, on his wrist when he goes to school. So it's literally like torture to some of these kids. So then they come to the rally and they hear that God of all creation, I have a gospel track on it, the God of all creation got bullied for your sins, by the Roman soldiers. So I go through the crown of thorns, the face beaten, the back beaten, the crucifixion, all of it. And they find out that Jesus Christ took their place on the cross, and then a lot get saved, because it really means a lot to them to know that, hey, they may be called fat, but when you think of the crown of thorns and the back beaten and everything they did to Christ, even before he was crucified, till all of his skin was just hanging in ribbons and he's in agony for their sin, and that's a lot more than being called fat, and they come to Christ. I have an average of 200 to 900 getting saved in every meeting now for 35 years. And so it's been a real miracle.
So getting back to your testimony.
Right. Sure, ask any question.
Yeah, well, that was the question. Is tell me about that experience with Jesus for you.
Right. Well, I had grown up, you know, sort of in a religious way, but didn't hear the gospel till I went to this Christian camp for the first time. And it meant so much to me because I didn't know that God was that could be a personal friend and a savior. I thought it was just something that people did in church, you know. And then when I found out he could have a personal relationship with me, it really amazed me, because knowing that he would forgive sin. So I received him as my savior. Then I went to Bible college, and then I went into the ministry from there. But hearing this at the camp was just...
So what did you feel? Was there something in your life at that point in time you felt like was keeping you from measuring up, or what was it that kind of convicted you?
Yeah, just realizing that I couldn't save myself by my own goodness, but it had to be complete trust in what Christ did. When he said it's finished, that means nothing else had to be added. And so I came to the place where I realized it wasn't religion, but it was him.
It was him.
Yep.
And so you wanted other people to have that relationship that you began, and obviously... You felt called to Bible college. What was your expectation with that?
Had no idea, because I really didn't know what I would learn. But then there was amazing things I found out in the scripture. That, in fact, I have a message now called, if the Bible's a sword, why not stab with it? You know, because a lot of sermons, they'll start with a verse and they might quote a few. But I use a lot of scripture, because if it's a sword, like one lady she was witness to with this verse, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. She kept saying, oh, I don't believe that. 30 times in this experience of a guy trying to lead her to the Lord, he used that verse. Well, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath... I don't believe that. 30 times, the 31st time, she fell on her knees. And the Holy Spirit kept stabbing her. And because she was stabbed by the scripture, not by him trying to coerce her or persuade her with human wisdom, but just quoting the sword. So if the Bible's a sword, why not stab with it? So I heard the scripture at this camp, and it stabbed me, and I realized what I needed.
And that was which scripture?
Well, there was a lot of scripture. I remember the one especially where it says that he'd bear our sins in his own body on the tree, and that really moved my heart, to think that he would do all that he did on the cross. And that come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So there's a lot of people not having rest. Why would they swallow rat poison? So I wanted them to know that they can have rest when they come to Christ, because they get a new father. And in fact, I was in one school, 80% of the students are raised by grandparents. One girl was molested in 13 foster homes. And she said, I got saved, I got forgiven by God. And she said, I now have gone to every one of my child molesters, and I've said, I forgive you because God forgave me. And I thought, what amazing guts that took for her to do that.
Wow. Yeah. You can see what God is doing through Bob. And you may want to say, how can I support that? Well, you can support Bob through a simple text right this minute. Right, guys? You have this set up.
Yep. Yeah.
So that all you have to do is text 72727. That's the number. So you put in 72727 and then truth. And then what comes up, Bob?
Then it'll come up with a video where you'll see the Vikings and Orioles playing me, and a link to my nonprofit to either give one-time or monthly donations to. And so that's just go to 72727 and type the word truth and send it, and it'll come right up on your phone. It'll pop in on your phone my link to see the video and where to go to support.
Yeah, there you go. So it's 72727, and then you type in the word truth, you get the video, and you see how you can go about supporting Bob and you know what he's doing, obviously, in Rowan County as of Wednesday. But it's going to be how many schools do you have booked right now?
Seven. I'll probably be in front of 8,000 to 10,000 students, so we may have 1,000 people there on Wednesday night. We're hoping and praying that we'll have several hundred saved there.
Wow, that's exciting. And where do you live?
I live in Knoxville.
Okay, so he came in from Tennessee. And Scott, how often do you get him here in North Carolina?
As much as I can. Bob plays about 200 games a year, and he'll go even though a school doesn't have budget money. In fact, in the last, I think, year and a half, he's done 80 schools on his own, and he picks up the cost. He puts it on his home equity line. But he believes so much in his mission and reaching these kids that this is one of the most all-in guys I have ever come across. I mean, his passion for children, for teens, for families, for them to know Christ is incredible.
Yes, and I want to thank you for this is the last chance.
It isn't.
Okay, great. Okay.
No, but we're going to tell them one more time. 72727, put in truth. To again, link to that picture that video and all that stuff. We have one little short segment coming up where you're going to have a chance to win. So don't let me stump you. Come right back and listen. We got one more segment coming up. Suits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have Bob Holmes. He's the one-man volleyball champion. Beat Bob is his website, and we've been talking all hour about the different ways that God has used him in so many different ways. Yeah, there's been a lot of people saved, but will you think, how many? 80,000?
Yes, since 9/11 tragedy, 80,000.
But I think of all the fruit of all the other kids that are obviously hearing about bullying, and some of them may be Christians and be bolder to share their faith, and the fruit that, as you know, he has Bob planted right there, and he has Scott planted as well, who's learned, you know, what God is doing through this ministry as well. But things have changed a little bit, and God does that. He moves our cheese every once in a while, and schools don't have the budgets they once have. So Bob now is in a situation where he could use some other monthly supporters, and share a little bit about that, Bob.
Yes, I wanted to read an email that I got from a student, and you can actually see these emails on a website. I was planning my death a few nights ago, and prior to meeting you today, I cut my wrist twice. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say I'll no longer self-mutilate. Because of this message, I'm grateful you came to my school. You, sir, have shown me this hope in Christ, and staying alive is worth it. I mean, there's tons of emails like this, and it's brought tears to my eyes to see how you never know who you're influencing. And but the biggest hindrance that I have, yes, 80,000 have come to Christ. It's a miracle. But the support of the schools to pay me to come in has dropped and dwindled so much everywhere that I am praying and begging God for financial supporters. And like you asked me to share, that's why there is a need. Now, think of it that I'm a missionary to public schools, and having been to 6,000 of them. And would you agree, when a principal tells me after I was in a school, it was a middle school, and the whole school began to weep after I said that the word suicide, and I didn't know what happened. And the principal come up and said, do you know that just next door, we have a classroom where a boy shot himself, and the room is still full of blood. We haven't cleaned it up yet. And that's why the whole school began to cry. So you just don't know what heartache people are going through out there. And but I try to have a lot of fun in the beginning of the assembly. If I play the teachers, I'll say no homework if I beat them. So there's a lot of need for them to have a lighthearted, laughing time. And then when I speak, I get real serious, and then they start crying, and then they want to hear part two, and they come back to the Thursday, in this case, Wednesday night rally, which will be at East Rowan High School. You're all invited to see one guy play a whole team. In fact, I'll be playing the whole audience. There'll be free pizza afterwards, free admission, and you can come to East Rowan Wednesday night, East Rowan High School at 7. But there is a desperate need for support.
Yeah, and what were you saying, Scott, that you're looking for 1,020? Share that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we look at what Bob's doing, and he can only get in so many schools, and there's 34,000 high schools in America. And so we're trying to get 1,000 people in $20 a month, and that will allow us to raise up two Bob Juniors that can be proteges, that they can continue his legacy of going to public schools, and quite honestly, we want to hog them for the Carolinas. So 1,000 people at $20 a month in 100 days, that's kind of the goal.
I love that Bob Jr. because, you know, my father's name is Bob, and my, you know, I'm his son, and Robert Bruce Dillmore Jr., so I was known as Bob Jr. for many, many years. Many people don't know that, and I should mention, I had a text from somebody who would listen to Christian Car Guy. I was talking about my father now under hospice care, and they thought that he might have passed because I was talking about him being pruned. Well, I kind of am sensing the pruning, but he is not. My father is still alive. I appreciate your prayers. I don't know how much longer we have. Not much, but I did want to share that. But when you said Bob Jr., I thought it was one of the things I wondered. What, how, you know, how do you to raise up another? He's got to teach some more volleyball people how to do this, and there's no reason for this not to be bigger. Yes. Because, you know, here in Forsyth County, from what I understand, we have one of the highest suicide rates in the country. Mm-hmm. And I forget the name of the group that came in and did a concert here, and they were telling me how horrible that situation here is in Forsyth County. And so we desperately need him in Forsyth County School. So maybe you're listening today and you have a connection to you're like Scott, right? Where you know the superintendent of Forsyth County Schools. And another big way to support Bob is obviously to book Bob, right?
Right. And you can go to beatbob.com and show that to superintendents and principals and pastors, because they bring me in, and then we can have the gospel rally. So we need the church behind it, and then we can get in the schools. So if we find a couple of churches that have a youth pastor, and the youth pastor goes around and shows my video to the principals, it'll get set up really well. So if anybody knows any churches, I may even ask you personally afterwards if there's a pastor or two we could get a hold of. Because once a church is booked, then I go after the schools. Because if you do the schools without the church, it's just a motivational message. But when you have a rally, you can invite them to. And there's been 400 to 2,000 community people coming out and hearing my gospel message every meeting for 35 years. So I'm excited to come in Forsyth County.
So there you go. If you're a pastor, or maybe, you know of a pastor that you would want to get involved in this. And it's so true. Without the discipleship, you know, without the connection to the body, you know, what are we doing? So we need the pastors. You go to Beat Bob. It's pretty easy to remember. BeatBob.com. Now, you may be wondering, Robbie, what were you talking about? I can't believe I stumped my audience. I beat my audience. I didn't mean to. Jesus used the grapevine to spread the word right about the beating in the book of Mark, where he sent the servants out to take care of the thing, and then when they came back, they beat his servants. Sorry I didn't get you there, but thank you for listening to King of Pursuits.